What a blessing it is to be together. I don't take it for granted that we have an opportunity to gather together as a family around the Word of God. And I believe that if we open our hearts to the leading of the Spirit who inspired the Word, that we will actually hear from God and we won't just hear from me. We don't need to hear from me. We all need to hear from Him. In 2018, the first Cat 5 hurricane made landfall in over 25 years, sweeping into the Florida panhandle. Hurricane Michael was the third most intense hurricane in U.S. history, leveling everything in its path. 74 fatalities, $25 billion in damages. And yet, famously, one home was particularly unscathed. Now, I know there are a couple homes there, but I've zoomed in. Those suckers were leveled eventually. But there's one home, this one right here, prominent home, very famously withstood the hurricane. And I thought it was kind of also interesting. This home offered protection to the home behind it. If you're the homeowner of the home behind this one, you won the lottery. Right? And I think it's a bit of a metaphor itself, actually, that building a strong spiritual life in Jesus benefits those closest to you, whether they know it or not. In an interview, the owner of this home said this: "At every point, from pilings to roof and everything in between, we went above and beyond code with every level of material. We asked the question on every decision, what would survive the big one? And we built for that. Rebar reinforced concrete walls sitting on top of 40-foot pilings, steel cables threaded from the girders through the roof and down the other side. This sucker was built to last, able to withstand well over 200 mile-an-hour winds while the other homes around it rolled the dice with ruin." Jesus spoke to crowds, rolling the dice with ruin. And so he taught them this parable that we find in Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. You can follow along on the screens as well. In the immediate context, Jesus says these words: "Good trees bear good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. You know the type of the tree by the fruit it bears." And then he said these words. Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do my words is like a man building a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house," Jesus says, "was literally mega great." They say the only thing worse for a pastor than preaching a hard text is preaching a text that everybody's already familiar with, as if there's anything new to say. And I've been praying all week long that the Holy Spirit would take his word and he would apply it deeply to each of our lives, and I believe that he will. Is your life built to last? How do you build an unshakable life? Well, Jesus highlights here three key building materials. He was a tradesman, he was a craftsman, a carpenter. He knew what he was talking about when it came to architecture. He offers three key building materials, and here's the plot twist. Two of them also happen to be found in houses of ruin. It's the third material that is most critical. Let's discover that together. First, Jesus says, proximity to me. Proximity. No surprise, right? It's real estate. Location, location, location. Lives built to last draw near to Jesus. They're close enough to Jesus to really experience his presence and to observe his life. How does he live? What does he love? How does he love? Who does he love? What are his priorities? What does Jesus think matters? What does he spend his money on? Didn't have much. What does he spend his time on, his energy on? Now, of course, these first century crowds, they had the unique opportunity to be close to Jesus, a privilege that we do not have today. And yet God saw fit to pour out his spirit into the lives of his people, thus multiplying the very presence of Jesus. So we actually don't have to go over to Israel in order to be close to Jesus. That's not where he lives. We also don't have to time travel to be close to Jesus. That's not when he lives. He's alive today. He's present right now. 100% of the time, you can enjoy the undivided attention of the King of everything. That's really an amazing thought. In other words, Jesus is far more accessible to us than he was to these crowds. The question is always, how present are we to his presence? Is that growing as your reality? I don't share this to shame in any way, but it's just a barometer. I Googled this. There are 168 hours in a week. That was a joke. Did you not know that? I actually didn't. I pulled out my phone and did the math. That's hilarious, but I did. Even granting 8 hours of night for sleep, that sounds amazing. 50 hours a week for work, we still have 9 hours a day to work with. Wow. And I find the more intentionally present I am to Jesus, the more I engage him along the way throughout my day. Proximity matters. Jesus says, if you want to be built to last, you have to come to me. And if you're weary and heavy laden, I will be your source for rest. You have to abide in me. Stay close to me. I will stay close to you, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. Now, nearness only bears fruit if we're listening, says virtually every wife to their husband. Listening to Jesus is the second material for a life built to last. Sadly, it does appear in the Kirk line that we have a genetic disposition, and I'm not talking metaphorically, I'm talking about actual physical genetic disposition to hearing loss. I'm beginning to experience it a little bit in one of my ears. Not great. But when I spend a week with my brother in Colorado every fall, which I'm about ready to do, by the end of that week with him, I'm almost hoarse from the amount of repeating. TK, if you're listening, put your hearing aid, man. It's really true. You can be with somebody and not listening. Either because your mind is somewhere else or because you're doing all the talking. Built to last requires listening to Jesus. His words do offer wisdom in a sea of folly. His words do offer truth in a sea of deception. And his words do offer hope in a sea of growing desperation. Jesus came to pull the curtain back and to reveal who God is and what God is like and what God is up to. He came to reveal life, life to the full, and to make that available in contrast to all the marketing bombardment we face in our world every day. Jesus highlights what really matters. Now, one could say, man, it's 2025. We can't hear Jesus. But this is the genius of God, right? Jesus preserved the scriptures so that we could hear. 2,000 years later, we still have them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in my Bible at least, 175 pages of the life and ministry and the teachings of Jesus. I know a guy who reads the Gospels every week, all four. He's hearing Jesus. And then the same Jesus poured out his spirit into the lives of apostles, inspiring them to write the rest of the New Testament. Again, that's another 215 pages in my Bible. Wisdom and insight into life. It's not that we can't hear Jesus. It's just that we often allow life to drown him out. The cacophony of noise clamors for our attention. Listening requires focus, where you reflect on the deeper meaning and you consider the personal implications. I hope you do this morning. Only you can really apply what the Lord might be saying. And it takes work. It's often just easier to choose the path of least resistance, isn't it? I mean, I'm with you on that. But then we wonder why we're frazzled and anxious and shook. When Jesus was transfigured gloriously before Peter, James, and John, a voice thundered from heaven. It was the Father's voice. And he said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And then he said, "Listen to him." Listen to Jesus. We can't listen if we're not with him. And distractions can drown out his voice. And yet here's the interesting thing. Jesus says proximity to Jesus and listening to Jesus build a house of ruin if the third material isn't included. I mean, that's a plot twist right there. My dad has walked with Jesus for 78 years and he was on a plane once telling the story, and he had these scripture memory cards. He always had these cards. And he would pull them out of his little pocket, and he would go over scripture memory whenever he would have an opportunity, you know, a break or whatever. And of course, we don't do that. Instead, we whip these things out, right, and fill our time with nothing. Right? News, sports, meaningless windows into people's lives. Thank you, social media. Just makes us anxious and jealous. Anyway, Dad's flipping through his memory cards on the plane. And he felt like God spoke to him. And it was kind of one of those moments where he was kind of looking around like, shoot, did anybody else hear that? He felt like God said to him, "Jerry, stop memorizing scripture." And he was shocked. I mean, he spent his whole life doing that since he was 16 years old. And then God said, "Just start living what you already know." It could be that you're so new to Jesus that you do need more insight. The scriptures are new for you, and you do need to learn what the Bible says. But it might be that you just need God's word to make more of an 18-inch migration to your heart, from your head to your heart and out into your life. Jesus is telling this crowd, "You're with me, that's great. You're hearing my voice, that's awesome. But you're unresponsive. You come and you go and you come and you go and you're the same. You call me Lord. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You call me king, and I am, and yet when I begin to reign, when I begin to actually start directing your life to avoid these things, to embrace these things, to live without this, to give this away, to say this, to confess this, to forgive them, you just walk away. As if my wisdom is meant for somebody else. Jesus confronted our spiritual indifference and our apathy, which leads to choosing our own way. It promises life, but it leads to ruin. And I know this has been, this series in the parables, I mean, it's been week after week. There's been some real sobering, challenging stuff. And again, I just want to say to you, this is sobering for me too. Being with Jesus, even listening to his word, only benefits us if we obey him. That's what he's saying. If there's no going and doing, we neutralize the coming and listening. If we're not implementing, you know, it's like dying of thirst, right? And somebody comes by and gives you this tall glass of fresh, cold water, and you hold the glass and you look at the glass and you study the glass and you set it down and you never drink. This makes sense of Jesus' initial call of his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. I'm always struck by that. When you go back to those early pages in the Gospels, I'm struck by how he encounters them. Here's how he doesn't encounter them. He's not strolling on by with his robe and whatever and say, "Hey there, boys, my name's Jesus. I happen to be the Messiah. Do you believe me?" No, that's not it at all. Jesus commands, "Follow me. Follow me." Not add a little dose of me to your already charmed life. Not add a few of my choice teachings to your own set of life principles. No. From now on, you follow me into life. That's how discipleship started. I'll teach you, I'll model, I'll inspire, I'll encourage. You follow me. Wow. Get out of your boats, boys. Even leave your family if you have to. Even leave your vocation if you have to. Get Jesus at the center of your life from here on out. He matters that much. It's a massive ask. It's a massive ask that pretty much doesn't fly in America. Because we don't like to be told what to do. I mean, surely I can get an amen on that. And we don't like to be inconvenienced. Yet that's what it takes to be built to last. It's costly, everybody. It's costly. He who loses his life for my sake is the one who finds it. Jesus said that. If you would be my disciples, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and what? Follow me. There it is again. Which means you are going to give up some stuff. And it also means you are going to add some stuff. And it means you are going to sacrifice. Saving faith is active. It goes live. It's real. Now, I don't know if you studied the passage this week in preparation for this message. Like I did, I began to kind of ask the question, okay, Jesus, this is kind of interesting. You are emphasizing doing. How do we avoid the false gospel of works righteousness? I'm a pastor that proclaims God's grace every message. So how does grace work with what Jesus is teaching here? I'm glad you asked. USC professor, former professor, Christian psychologist, Dallas Willard, I think said it best in a simplest form. He said, effort is not the enemy of grace. Effort is not the enemy of grace. Earning is. Earning is. In other words, following Jesus takes a ton of effort. Anybody who sells you, follow Jesus, it'll be easy, is not telling you the truth. It's going to require everything you've got, but you cannot, you don't do it in order to gain what you don't have. That's where religion creeps in. You invest all that you have in light of all that you've been given. Amen? That's the gospel. You don't go and do to get God to love you. You draw near to Jesus. You listen to his voice. You receive his love. And that love prompts your going and doing. You receive the Holy Spirit. You actually are indwelt as a disciple by the very presence of God. And the Spirit stirs in you new desires. Nudges you this way and that, and you follow through. This is how God receives the glory for our transformed lives. Coming to this gathering is awesome. Each week I highly recommend it. I think there's wisdom in it because I believe that as we gather in the name of King Jesus, we actually do experience God's presence among God's people in worship, and we hear the very words of life through the scriptures. Every Sunday we preach God's word. There are churches that don't. There are churches where the pastor doesn't even come up to the platform with a Bible because it's story time with Charlie. And he's just going to be cool, and he's just going to kind of wow you and try to energize you and motivate you to live another week and give as much money as possible. That's not what this is about. That's not even close or remotely close to what this is about. This is about following Jesus. This is about having the Word of God that is life-giving make its way in so that it changes us, so that we become the people that God made us to be. But listen, if we come and go and come and go and don't respond to how the Spirit is stirring, this becomes a waste of time. And eventually, you know what we do? Eventually we just sleep in and go to brunch at Dorothy Lane Market. Anybody been to Dorothy Lane Market? We've been watching this thing get built for a decade. There it is. All right. This week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat healthy today. I'm going to go, and I'm going to get a salad at Dorothy Lane Market. So you go in there, and you get your thing, and you start down the salad, whatever that thing's called, the bar or whatever, which is like from here to, you know, Indiana. I don't know. And it is loaded with the coolest stuff. I mean, everything is the absolute freshest. Now, it's kind of funny, though, because you don't have any idea how much it costs. I was going to say what it was, but I can't say that. It's a mosaic. Anyway, I mean, you just start piling food in this thing, and then you go to the checkout, and you're like, what is it? Like, you don't know. You know, and I was so worried that this is going to be like a $35 salad. It did end up being a $14.59 salad, and that was a lot for what I got. I remember when I was like, do I get that piece of pineapple or not? You know, I'll go blueberry. blueberries only 70 cents. I was at the checkout and this older gal comes up to me. She puts her hand on my arm and she's like, is this your first time here? And I was like, it is my first time here. And she goes, we have so needed this store. I'm like, only somebody in Mason, Ohio would say, we have so needed this store. This is a food wasteland, right? Oh my goodness. But it is delicious. Just take out a mortgage and go. Go blueberry. Go blueberry. Family, Jesus wants you close. And he wants you listening. And he wants you practicing his way of life. What do you want? And do you know this? He actually promises that this life will fill you with joy. I think a lot of times we think, well, man, if I got really serious about Jesus, it would be such a drag. That's not true at all, at least according to Jesus. John 15, he says, look, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. My joy will be in you, and your joy will be what? Full. Jesus blesses those who follow him. And he produces a bounty in our lives, on our branches, that others can taste and see as they encounter him in us. Amen. Nothing brings God more glory than the multiplication of his Son through his people. And Jesus is saying here, look, you can't just give me a nod here and there while mainly living as you please and hoping for the best. That attitude is verse 49. Those who hear and do not do my words build a house on the ground without foundation, and the streams break against it, and immediately it falls, and the ruin is great. I've now lived long enough to say with certainty, storms are inevitable. Man, they are. They're coming. It's a fallen world. Adam's sin and the just curse that followed sent out this earthquake that just keeps cracking. It just keeps breaking things. Our bodies break down. Our trust breaks down. Our relationships fall apart. Spouses miss one another. Our precious children walk away from the faith. We lose jobs. We lose buying power. We lose hope. And I'll tell you this, floodwaters never ask permission to rise. They just break against your home. How is your home? Some endure. Do you have someone in your life that's built to last? Do you know someone? Someone come to mind when I say that? I can tell you this, if you do have someone in your life built to last, I bet you this, I bet you they're spending time near Jesus, listening to Jesus, and responding to Jesus. Because that's the life, man. That's the life. Not just believing in Jesus. Oh, Charlie gave his life to Jesus when he was 7. Never talked to him the rest of his life, but ruin. Ruin. It's everything we're about here at Hope Church, building a life that is built to last. We call it the life. It is a life of grace and a life of love and a life of multiply. Grace, love, multiply. Built to last means you're actively receiving and celebrating on a daily basis throughout the day the grace of God. God welcomes you through Jesus. He forgives your confessed sin. He's present through the Holy Spirit. He adopts you as son. He adopts you as daughter. He provides for your needs. He secures your forever. This is grace. And you get to just live there day in, day out, on into eternity. And the more his grace lands in your heart and you genuinely begin to rest in his grace, the greater the gratitude. You don't have to work to be grateful. Gratitude rises in those who receive his grace. Gratitude, they come from the same word. Gratitude and grace share the exact same root. Our gratitude is just the reflex to his grace. And the greater your gratitude, the greater your love. Love grows for God. You begin to want to love him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You begin to love his people, siblings that we've been given for the journey. So we're not alone as we follow Jesus, but we actually link together and follow him together. And then he also gives you his amazing missional love for his world. For the men, women, and children you go to school with, you work with, you live with, you play with. Grace in here is a gift from God. And as that lands, love grows here, and love grows here, and love grows there. This is the life. And eventually, like any fruit tree, you multiply, because we multiply what we love, right? I've said this many times. We naturally multiply what you love. If you're a Bengals fan, and I know most of you are, I know at least one in this room isn't, but I know if you are a Bengals fan, you will not teach your children to love the Steelers. That will never happen. Now, at some point, you may have to explain to your children that you don't hate the Steelers in the true sense of the term, but you will teach your children to love the Bengals. You know, I love the Cowboys, and our owner just decided to trade our best player to one of the teams I hate the most. I guess we're just being generous. We're just sharing. We want everybody to have a chance. But you know what I'm talking about. You travel somewhere and you come back, and I mean, you try not to gloat, but you're like, dude, check this place out. Like, you gotta get online. You gotta take your wife here. This is awesome. Because what you love, you multiply. You go to a restaurant, you have a dish, you're like, dude, you got to go to this place in Loveland. It's amazing. You gotta order this, the salmon. It's got the brie cheese all over it. Tano's, really recommend that. You know what I'm saying? See, I just did it. It's not hard. It's a great dish. It's not hard to multiply what we love. It's not hard to share good news. Why is it so hard to share the best? You know, the last thing Jesus said to us on planet Earth, he's like, as you go, live, work, play, make disciples of all nations. Teach them to follow my commandments. Teach others about this life of grace and love and multiply. That's what he wants us to be about. Is anybody in your life learning about grace and love and multiply because they're in your life? A life that's truly built to last helps others build to last. Man, the pull in this world is to just make it up as we go along, right? It's so strong to just do that, to just run from this activity over here to this activity over here, hoping against hope to find life in it all. It's a setup for ruin. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Jesus came to make you sturdy. He came to make your life sturdy in him, which takes being with him, wanting to hear his voice, and then carrying out his will. And by the way, what happens when you don't carry out his will? Because that happens, right? I mean, I'm not the only one. Am I alone in here? Right, it happens where you feel prompted to say something and you walk away and you don't do it and you miss an opportunity. Or you feel like the Spirit's like, hey, put that phone down. That's not for you. That's not a provision for you. And you're like, oh, I know. And you get in that fight. I get it. I understand. So what then? Here's the beautiful thing about following Jesus. The Spirit, he grieves within us when we stray even a bit from the path of life. And that Spirit's grief within causes us, moves us into confession and repentance and receiving grace and walking in greater freedom as we follow Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. So both in your obedience and in your obedience to the grief of the Spirit and the conviction of the Spirit in your life, you follow Jesus and you keep following Jesus and you grow in Jesus. God's taking care of it. I was driving one day. My son, Joshua, it was 4 years old at the time. We're driving. He's in the back seat. He was an analytical dude right out of the gate. I mean, he's always trying to figure things out, and he's still doing that as a builder. And I saw that back then. And he's like, hey, Dad. He's like, so when I obey God, he's pleased with me. I said, oh, yeah, he is, buddy. Absolutely. He said, but when I don't obey and I say I'm sorry, God is pleased with me. And I was like, yeah, that's right, buddy. That's exactly right. So then it got kind of quiet. And he's like, so wait, so that means God has taken care of both. And I was like, I just remember feeling like, and my work is done here. Like the rest of my instruction is going to be boring, son. Like, yes, that's it. He's gonna inspire you to be obedient and you're gonna follow him and experience his delight, and he's gonna inspire you to be obedient and you're not gonna follow, and he's gonna grieve within you and you're gonna move into confession and receive his grace and give glory to God and move back into obedience. That is the Christian life. You're going to experience the pleasure of God in either direction. It's amazing. God takes care of everything. He came to make you sturdy in him. Stay close. Stay close. Listen and obey. I want to invite you just to close your eyes for a second as I close. Just want to kind of remove the distractions of the room and just have you standing with Jesus walking up, simply looking at you with grace, with compassion, but with strength, saying to you, stay close to me. Listen to me. Follow me into life and be built to last. Father, I pray in this moment that this would be a safe space where we could bring our priorities before you. We're in transition here, back into school, into the fall, into new rhythms, new activities. God, what has our mind? What has our focus? What are we spending our life on? Jesus, is there any area of my life that I have put off limits to you, that you want to speak into, that you want to lead me in, and that I'm trying to cordon you off and keep you away from? Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would make us really wise and really free to bring all of us before you, Jesus, and invite you to have your way. Thank you for your grace. Your grace prompts us to love. And we want to help other people experience your grace and your love. Make it so. Make it so. In your name, King Jesus, we pray. Amen.